Hello everyone, and welcome to Eyes to See Decodes. My name is Chris, I will be your tour guide today, and today we're going to be breaking down and decoding the cult of the Virgin, uncovering the secrets of the rainbow portrait. Join me, I'll be your tour guide, and let's begin. So my methods of decoding, as usual, are going to be the Chaldean Gematria cipher, which is a cipher with the alphabet and numbers based on the phonetics, the sound of the letters. It's based 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8, like the scale, like the musical scale, do re mi fa sol la ti do. 9 is not included, and in numerology 9 behaves like a zero, so you can see why it's not included in this. This cipher pairs very well with the periodic table of elements, and we use the Royal Society of Chemistry's website and the artwork provided there for some insight. The Chaldean Gematria cipher also pairs very well with the English ordinal ciphers. We have the forward, which is where A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, all the way to Z equaling 26. And in the reverse, just like a mirror image, where Z equals 1 and A equals 26. And we can see how these two ciphers work extremely well together. This example here is the words Jesus Christ. And we can see how in the English ordinal cipher, Jesus Christ equals 151. And why is that special? Because 151 is the 36th prime number. And we can see here in Chaldean, Jesus Christ equals 36. The English ordinal cipher also pairs very well with Strong's Bible Concordance, which is all the words in the Old Testament in Hebrew indexed by number, and all the words in the New Testament Greek also indexed by number. And then we use the Cards of Destiny system to decode and get insight into dates. So let's begin. We're going to be looking at Elizabeth the First. So Elizabeth I, she was the Queen of England and Ireland from the 17th of November 1558 until her death in 1603. She was the last monarch of the House of Tudor. And the House of Tudor is right here. This is their family's emblem, the Tudor rose. And we can see here that it's an encoded upside down pentagram. You see the 5 points pointed down here within the Tudor rose. Elizabeth was the only surviving child of Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, his second wife, who was executed when Elizabeth was 2 years old. Anne's marriage to Henry was annulled, and Elizabeth was declared illegitimate. Henry restored her to the line of succession when she was 10, via the Third Succession Act of 1543. After Henry's death in 1547, Elizabeth's younger half-brother, Edward VI, ruled until his own death in 1553, bequeathing the crown to a Protestant cousin, Lady Jane Grey, and ignoring the claims of his two half-sisters, the Catholic Mary, otherwise known as Bloody Mary, and the younger Elizabeth, in spite of statutes to the contrary. Elizabeth's will was set aside within weeks of his death, and Mary became queen, deposing and executing Jane. During Mary's reign, Elizabeth was imprisoned for nearly a year on suspicion of supporting Protestant rebels. Upon her half-sister's death in 1558, Elizabeth succeeded to the throne and set out to rule by good counsel. She depended heavily on a group of trusted advisors led by William Cecil, whom she created Baron Burghley. One of her first actions as queen was the establishment of an English Protestant church, of which she became the supreme governor. This era, later named the Elizabethan Religious Settlement, would evolve into the Church of England. It was expected that Elizabeth would marry and produce an heir. However, despite numerous courtships, she never did. And because of this, she is sometimes referred to as the Virgin Queen. And that is what we're going to be examining today. So let's break down Elizabeth I. So this is Elizabeth's wiki box from Wikipedia, and we see here that she was the Queen of England and Ireland. She was the Queen of England from 1558 to 1603, and Her birthday here, this is what's important, was the 7th of September, so 9-7 or 7-9, depending on how you write it, 1533, and she died here at the age of 69 on the 24th of March, 1603. So Elizabeth I in Chaldean sums to 34, and 34 matches the periodic table of elements, 34th element, selenium, with an atomic weight of 79.917. The artwork provided by the Royal Society of Chemistry shows us the moon, that selenium was named after the moon, and 34 in Chaldean matches the Chaldean database, and these are the words related: queen bee, coronate, dragonfly, the enemy, feminine, god mode, evil spirit, I love her, girlfriend, false god, superior, parliament, royal arsenal, conquest, conspire, renaissance, 26, occultist, magic spells, or magic spell, serial killers, mass murder, kill them all, soul trap, superstar, and the angels. And in English here, we see Elizabeth I in the English ordinal cipher sums to 97, matching her birth date of September 7th, 9-7, matching the word serpent in English, as well as the word inverted. And 97 and 34 is a perfect match to the phrase, I am Lucifer, in both ciphers. So she was known as the Virgin Queen. Interestingly enough, the word virgin sums to the number 79, matching gold at 79, the 79th element. The atomic weight for gold is 196, which matches the immortal queen, non-sign soul Iris, which we will look at on her, that is the inscription on the rainbow portrait, and the sun and the moon. And we can see here in the artwork provided by the Royal Society of Chemistry, there is the sun and the moon in behind here, and the artwork for gold is the sun, the golden sun. And 79 matches her birthday as well, this seventh day, the ninth month, 79. So what led me to this decode was the recent portrait released by Charles III, King Charles III. This is has been seen on the internet, and it's been shown that when we mirror this image, we see another image appear. But it's also been discussed that this type of hidden imagery within the royal portraits has been going on for a long time, and a lot of people have been associated this King Charles portrait with this portrait from Elizabeth I, which was originally done in the year 1600. And we can see here where it says non-sign soul Iris on the painting right here on the left-hand side. So let's take a look why King Charles's portrait has been going all over the internet. And the reason is that when this image is mirrored, it reveals a face within the mirroring. And some are speculating that that face resembles the face of Baphomet here. And I took two different images of Baphomet to compare them and have a look. You definitely see a face in there, and it's up for interpretation, I'm sure, but that's what's being alleged. So this image has secrets held within, and the image of Elizabeth I, the rainbow portrait, also has some secrets, and we're going to try and uncover them. So let's take a look. So I found this article on historyhit.com, and it's called Elizabeth I, Uncovering the Secrets of the Rainbow Portrait. And this article was written by Alice Loxton, and it was written on the 1st of October, 2022. And interestingly, the 1st of October, according to the Cards of Destiny system, where a regular deck of poker cards is overlaid on the calendar, we see that October 1st, the date of this article, is an Eight of Diamonds card. And the Eight of Diamonds happens to be the 34th card of the deck, matching Elizabeth the first. So here's what the article goes on to say. The rainbow portrait is one of the most intriguing images of Elizabeth I. In true Tudor style, the portrait is littered with ciphers, symbolism, and secret meanings, and it works to construct a very calculated image of the Queen. By holding a rainbow, for example, Elizabeth is depicted as an almost divine, mythical being. Meanwhile, her youthful skin and drapings of pearls associated with purity help to promote Elizabeth's cult of virginity. The rainbow portrait still hangs in the sumptuous setting of Hatfield House, that's an H8 and 88, among an array of grand paintings, fine furniture, and delicate tapestries. Here's the history of the rainbow portrait and its many hidden mysteries or messages. Let's take a look. A vision of splendor. Elizabeth I was especially conscious of her personal appearance and took great care to engineer an image to convey wealth, authority, and power. Looking at this portrait, it seems Oliver was in no mood to offend his patron. Oliver presents a beautiful woman in the flower of her youth with graceful features and unblemished skin. In reality, Elizabeth was almost 70 years old when the painting was created in 1600. Apart from blatant flattery, the message was clear. This was Elizabeth, the immortal queen. So here's the picture of the rainbow portrait. The immortal queen sums to 62 in Chaldean. 62 is a very big number associated with the queen. In English, queen is 62, Madonna is 62, Elohim, the gods, equals 62. And within the Chaldean cipher, the immortal queen matches Lilith the deceiver, the scarlet woman, she's got red hair, twin female system, pussies kill the rats, deal with the devil, on inverted cross, and trapped in flesh. So let's continue on with the article. Once more, Elizabeth dons extravagant clothing befitting her royal status. She's dripping with jewels and opulent fabrics, all alluding to majesty and splendor. Her bodice is aligned with delicate flowers, and she is covered in jewels, three pearl necklaces, several rows of bracelets, and a weighty brooch in the form of a cross. Her hair and earlobes, too, are glittering with precious stones. Indeed, Elizabeth was famed for her love of fashion. An inventory compiled in 1587 stated that she owned 628 pieces of jewelry. So 628 in the Bible just happens to be a collection. So she has a collection of jewelry, 628 pieces. And at her death, over 2,000 gowns were recorded in the royal wardrobe. But this wasn't just extreme sartorial indulgence. The 16th century was an age where dress codes were strictly enforced. Sumptuary laws, introduced by Henry VIII, continued until 1600. These rules were a visual tool to implement status, which was hoped to enforce order and obedience to the crown. Rules might state that only duchesses, marchionesses, and countesses could wear cloth and gold, tissue and fur of sables in their gowns, kirtles, partlets, and sleeves. So Elizabeth's luxurious fabrics not only suggest a woman of great wealth, they indicate her high status and importance too. So when we say the number 628, this collection of jewelry, 628, we get an English ordinal sum of 282, matching Protestant Reformation, which is what she was responsible for. And we see here, when we look closer at the portrait, in her hair we see the symbol 2X within her red hair here, and that will become important for the decode later. Let's continue on. A maze of symbolism. Elizabethan art and architecture was filled with ciphers and hidden messages. The rainbow portrait is no exception. This is a maze of symbolism and allegory, all alluding to the Queen's majesty. In Elizabeth's right hand, she holds a rainbow, besides which is inscribed a Latin motto, non sine sol iris, meaning no rainbow without a sun. The message? Elizabeth is England's sun, a divine light of grace and beauty. Building on this idea of Elizabeth as a mythical goddess-like figure, her translucent veil and diaphanous lace embroidered collar give her an air of the otherworldly. Perhaps Oliver, the artist, had Edmund Spenser's epic poem, Fairy Queen, in his mind, which was published 10 years before in 1590. This was an allegorical work praising Elizabeth's I, and championing Elizabethan notions of virtue. It was, according to Spencer, intended to fashion a gentleman or noble person in virtuous and gentle discipline. Elizabeth I, we saw before, sums to 97 in English, matching the Chaldean phrase, no rainbow without the sun, non sine sol iris in English, 97. And the title of this portrait is called the Rainbow Portrait. When we put the rainbow portrait into Chaldean, we get a sum of 67. 67 matches the Church of Satan, Speak of the Devil, Goddess of Strife, Deep Mind Control, A System of Control, and Harmonies by the Hive. And we see here that Elizabeth in the portrait has her hand on top of the rainbow, suggesting she has authority over the rainbow. We can see that it's coming out of her side, which is right out of Genesis, the book of Genesis here. And the rainbow, the upper rainbow, is a masculine symbol. And we learn that also, we can see that in the movie The Da Vinci Code. We can see when Tom Hanks describes the chalice and the phallic symbol of the A and the chalice symbol of the V. It's what we see here on a sine wave, where the upper part of the wave would be the masculine and the downward part of the wave here would be described as the feminine. So what she's holding on to here and what she's got her hand over showing the authority over the rainbow, she's got her hand showing the authority over the masculine. And the rainbow is also a symbol of our chakra system, the seven colors of the rainbow, the seven chakras, and that we are light beings. So we are the rainbow. So this is also a symbol of her authority over us, the humans, the angels. Well, let's continue. In Elizabeth's left hand, her fingers grace the hem of her burning orange cloak. Its glimmering brilliance brought to life by Oliver's dabs of gold leaf. Most bizarrely, this cloak is decorated with human eyes and ears, suggesting Elizabeth was all-seeing and all-hearing. It was probably a nod to the many rebellious plots and conspiracies which had been crushed or thwarted throughout her life, many by her brilliant spymaster Francis Walsingham. The creature on her left sleeve hammers home the point. This jeweled serpent represents Elizabeth's cunning and wisdom. We can see here that on her sleeve here is the jeweled serpent, but it also has an apple to suggest that this is not just a jeweled serpent. This is the serpent from the Garden of Eden, the devil, and she has it jeweled, like she's honoring this entity. And on her robes, we see it's almost like it's human eyes and ears. You can almost see faces within it. And this almost reminded me of Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. It's like she's wearing this cloak or this coat of skin. And Genesis 3:21 matches the sum total of 49 in Chaldean, matching the word upside down. And we will be looking at the upside down in this portrait later on in this decode. And we know that jeweled serpent, when we put it in the Chaldean Gematria calculator, we get the sum total of 64, matching crowned serpent, queen of heaven, the cult of a virgin, god of this world, hidden in plain sight, hidden knowledge, and house of Tudor, which was where Elizabeth came from. The Virgin Queen, we continue. Perhaps the most enduring legacy of Elizabeth's portraiture was the cult of the Virgin Queen, which is suggested heavily in the rainbow portrait. The pearls that drape her body allude to purity, the knotted necklace suggests virginity, her pale glowing face painted with white lead suggests a woman of youthful innocence. It is perhaps a surprising cult to encourage in light of Elizabeth's failure to produce an heir and ensure stability for the country. Indeed, emphasizing any aspect of Elizabeth's womanhood was a bold move, for women were considered to be weak, biological mutations of nature, inferior biologically, intellectually, and socially. And we see here that the words Virgin Queen in the English ordinal cipher, we put it in the calculator and we get the sum total of 141, matching the words Radiant Beauty, Queen Mother, Purple Rain, Omnipotent, Royal Arsenal, Devil in a Dress, False Prophet, Gate of the Sun, The Fallen Angels, And I'm going to not say this word. I'll encourage you to look at the screen and read this word yourself. It's at 141. And if you don't know what this is, I would encourage you to research it, but do it carefully. And this topic can be seen here in the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks, and the volleyball and the bloody handprint for his imaginary friend called Wilson. Virgin Queen in Chaldean, it's 141 in English, and it's 40 in Chaldean, and it matches these words within the Chaldean cipher: bloodlines, the Virgin Mary, all-seeing eye, the watcher, eye of God, the lovers, a held secret, the Holy Grail, just a touch, knowledge, follow man, triple sixes. We can see here that it's interesting that the ciphers tell a story within them. The cult of virginity sums to 69 in Chaldean. And interestingly enough, Elizabeth I died at the age of 69. And Elizabeth II died at the age of 96. And biblically, the concept of 69 is turning down to up. And we see that concept in Christ's crucifixion when he died between 6 and 9. And here's some imagery of the Virgin Mary, the Catholic Virgin Mary. Here's another image of the Virgin as well. And here's Madonna, who's also showing the representation of this Virgin Queen. So let's continue. In light of this, Elizabeth's ownership of her cult of virginity is even more impressive. Some historians have suggested the turbulent religious changes in the century may have paved the way for this positioning. The Protestant Reformation saw England move away from Catholic imagery and culture. As the image of the Virgin Mary was eradicated from the national consciousness, perhaps it was displaced by a new cult of the Virgin, Elizabeth herself. So it's basically saying that the worshipping the Virgin Mary is the original cult of the Virgin from Catholicism. And during the Protestant Reformation, Elizabeth took the same concept, the same idol worship, and made it about herself here. The words cult of virginity sum to 55 in Chaldean. 55 is a very big number. We know that number from the English word Satan, which sums to 55. And cult of virginity in Chaldean matches the words female goddess, matrix means a womb, Satan on a throne. It matches a virgin of virgin, and we see the W symbol here, the two interlocking Vs, the virgin of virgin symbols. This is an ancient witchcraft symbol. We are the 2X. The 2X represents the female chromosomes, the double X. And then pop the cherry is also 55, and we see the double cherry symbol here just as a symbol of sex and lust. So interestingly, that cult of virginity sums to 55, matching all of these other terms. So we're going to look at the picture, but before that, let's have a look at Proverbs 25:2. And this verse, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. We're going to do the honor of kings, and we're going to search it out. And we know, using Esword and breaking down the Old Testament into its original language, that the word God here in Proverbs 25 verse 2, this word God is actually the word Elohim, Hebrew word 430, which means plural gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God. It's occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates and judges, and sometimes as a superlative. Sometimes it's used as the supreme God, but very rarely. But in the ordinary sense of the word, it means plural gods of the supreme God. Here's some synonyms here: angels, God, very great and mighty. So it's synonymous with angels and magistrates and gods, plural. So it's the glory of the gods to conceal a thing, but is the honor of kings is to search it out. And as we saw, queen matches 62 with Elohim, the gods, matching the number 62. And here's the phrase that's on the portrait: non sine sol iris in Latin, summing to 56, matching her name, Elizabeth Tudor. This was her nickname, Good Queen Bess. And this song here is from The Cult, a rock band from the 80s and 90s. And that their most famous song is called She Sells Sanctuary, which we'll see in our decode in a little bit. And let's have another look into the Bible for some context about for what we're about to see. This is Isaiah 29:15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, caution to those that want to hide themselves from the Lord God. And their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. And the Lord God formed Adam with his hands like a potter. So this is a saying that turning things upside down and seeing things the opposite way is as esteemed as when the Lord God formed Adam with his hands. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He had no understanding? So let's take a look here. We're going to turn this upside down. So we're going to take Elizabeth's The Rainbow Portrait, turn it upside down, and see what we see here. And we see that Elizabeth I is 34 in Chaldean, matching the words Queen Bee at 34 in Chaldean. Queen Bee summed to 74 in English, matching Lucifer. And we see here the image turned upside down gives us a hidden imagery within it that matches and looks like to me was what would be a queen bee. And I took these images of queen bees from the front, and we can see here the proboscis coming out and the mandibles up here matching this sort of imagery down here with the eyes. And the cross on her chest now becomes an upside down cross, which is known as St. Peter's cross, just like St. Peter's Basilica. And the word St. Peter's matches 34, matching Elizabeth the First. So this type of hidden imagery and this insect that we see within Elizabeth the First's rainbow portrait, we've seen it before, and we've seen it at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. This is the one of the largest, if not the largest, religious altar in the world. This is within St. Peter's Basilica. This is can be seen as the sheep head with the light coming in above it, the angels coming in through the light, and there's a dove within that window suggesting the soul or the spirit are coming through there. And when we just draw on the lines, we see that it's a giant bug head, and it's harvesting, it's eating the light. And that light can be seen. This can also be interpreted as a penis, the male reproductive system, and it's also the female reproductive system. But the light that is coming out of the male reproductive system is being harvested here by this bug-like being. But this is also the same imagery we see when we take the Starbucks logo, and this goddess here in the logo is the goddess Melusine, who killed her husbands. And when we turn that upside down, and all I did was fill in the lines and color it in, we see here that it's another bug face, and within the mouth of the bug is an upside down star. We are the stars. We are the five pointed stars. We are the stars. We are the angels. We are the princes of El, and that is within the mouth of this bug, which is identical to the Vatican altar, which is also identical to the United States Capitol building in Washington, D.C., which is a giant bug head. This is also an owl on a bigger scale, but here we see this is a giant bug head. And the mandibles here, there's a statue here of, I believe it's Ulysses S. Grant. And it's interesting as well. It's identical to what's in the mouth of the bugs here, the light. And this is a band called Alien Ant Farm. And we see this similar imagery here with the bug face and the light and the dark, the duality. And I've broken this down in my Starbucks decode on the Truth Mafia website for those who want to go look at it. The rainbow portrait we saw summed to 67 in Chaldean, matching the words dead sheep in English, 67. And here is a picture of the Virgin that is worshipped by the Catholic Church. And when we turn that upside down, we see here it's a sheep head. And this has been brought to us, thankfully, by Mr. Jonathan Kleck. I encourage you to check out his work. And this is right from the Bible. This is Nahum chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. And there shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. And this reference here is to Lucifer rising up above the stars of El, the Almighty. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. There are plenty of references to worms and locusts and cankerworms and grasshoppers within the Bible, and we can see why here. This is a biblical imagery. And we're going to see here, I'm going to show you this movie, Lucy. And this movie is starring Scarlett Johansson. And this is the poster for the movie. We get the one-eyed symbolism. And we see here that she's showing us just the one eye. Lucy is short for Lucifer. She is the female representation of Lucifer in this movie. And this is within the first 5 minutes of the movie. We see that her friend Richard here is trying to convince her to go in the bank and carry and drop off this case, this important briefcase. And we've seen briefcases like this before in Pulp Fiction. And while he's trying to convince her, he tells her, he says, "Lucy, did you know the first ever woman was named Lucy?" And then they show this image of this chimpanzee in a museum with the name tag Lucy underneath it. And he says that if she goes in, it'll be an easy drop off because the men will just see how beautiful she is and just not question anything. And then they show this mouse and this baited trap and how the mouse is just about to get killed here by this mouse trap. And when she walks, she walks into the bank, and we see her the full scale of the clothing she's wearing. And we see the jacket that she's wearing is sort of the predator pattern right here. And underneath it, her red dress is on the face or right over her female reproductive system here. We have the exact same imagery that we see here at the altar within St. Peter's Basilica, where the male phallic would go right between her legs. And we see the exact same, the mandibles and the eyes. We see the insect right here, right on her dress. So I just wanted to do a little bit of research on this original first female. So how did Lucy, our early human ancestor, die 3 million years ago? And I found this almost comical. So when Lucy, the world's most well-known fossil, was discovered sticking out of a shallow Ethiopian stream bed in 1974, and I didn't have room on this slide, but you can look up 1974 in Strong's, it's relevant. She provided new insight about life for our early human ancestors 3.18 million years ago. Well, that's a pretty specific number. The image of her skeleton, which is estimated to be 40% complete and considered the best representation of her species, Australopithecus afarensis, became iconic. But how did she come to rest in that shallow stream? Lucy just might be considered one of the world's oldest cold cases. 42 years after the discovery, researchers from the University of Texas at Austin now believe that she was found in proximity to where she died and that she fell from a great height to her death. From 46 feet in the air, Lucy fell out of her tree at the speed of 35 miles per hour, and you can read this on your own if you want. The numbers are what's important. 3.18 in the Bible, within Strong's Concordance in the Greek, is the word necessity, an anke, and that word is necessity, constraint, compulsion. There is need to, force, and violence, and that word breaks down, which is derived from the ankos, a bent, uplifted arm poised to meet a pressing need, necessity, a compelling need requiring immediate action. A necessity calls for timely help, strong force needed to accomplish something compulsory, absolutely required. This kind of situation is typically brought on by great pain or distress. And this article, and what's coded within here is the fall of Lucifer. And we see that here within the number 42 within Revelation 13:5, where the beast was given 42 months. And Revelation 13:5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And then she fell from a great height, fell from the heavens down to earth. And then she fell 46 feet in the air, and 46 matches our DNA, our 23 and 23, our 46 chromosomes. In Chaldean, we see the words double helix summing to 46. And she hit the ground at 35 miles per hour. And 35 in Chaldean matches the words simulation, brainwashing, satanic ritual, Luciferian, Catholicism, Mother Mary, and the Vatican." And we see here how this article is coded and is just telling us a coded story of the Bible within CNN. So this is an image of from the Vatican, and we see here them praying in front of the Virgin Mary. And when we zoom in onto this image, we can see here that she has one eye open and one eye closed. It's actually quite subtle, but it's there. And we know that the wink is a nod. It's nefarious, and we learn that from the Bible in Psalms 35:19, where it says, "Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause." So the words Queen Mary sum to 119, 11, 9, or the mere number of that is 9:11, and Queen Mary matches apparition. We've heard of many apparitions of the Virgin Queen. Saturn God, Satan is real, all-seeing eye, confession, snake venom, women's day, pink venom, Star of David, falling angels, flesh suit, redemption, and lost sheep. And here's a closer image of the altar within St. Peter's Basilica. And we see here it's the sheep head, that the light, the angels are the lost sheep within the system. This Star of David is also known as the Star of Remphan. This is a representation of the one up, one down system that we're in. So, thank you for listening. I'm going to leave you with this song from The Cult. This is called She Sells Sanctuary. And this has been a decode of The Cult of the Virgin. And in English ordinal, that sums to 222, matching Antichrist system, British royal family, the beast of Revelation, Jesus is the truth, and you must be born again. We can see here the lyrics. The heads that turn makes my back burn, sparkle in your eyes like the light within, keeps me alive, turns around, the world drags me down, and I'm sure in her you'll find the sanctuary, the cult of the Virgin. All right, thank you very much, everyone. I appreciate all the support, and thank you to Truth Mafia. And all the best. Much love to all, and take care.